Hello, this is John Politan. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you for joining us for our Bible study in the book of Hebrews. We are in Hebrews chapter 13 now, as we focus on how to put into practice all the doctrine we've been taught about Christ and about who He is in the first 12 chapters of this book. We pick things up today as John was telling us about the account of the disciples meeting the resurrected Jesus for breakfast one morning, and the way Jesus prepared Peter for his ministry. Here's John with more of a message titled, Sanctification and the Ethics of a Christian, Part 2.
Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. He said to him, then shepherd my sheep. And I believe he probably pointed to the other 10 around. Shepherd these guys. They're following you into the boat the wrong way. Good grief, man. Get on board, get with it, and start leading them in the right way. Peter, of course, will not go and say, yeah, I agape you, Lord. He won't go that high. He know. He's trying to say that there's a level of love that hopefully is acceptable to Christ, knowing that he's absolutely depraved. Christ is saying, do you love me enough to deny yourself? And he says, well, I have really heavy feelings toward you, and you know all about me, Lord. So he asks him a third time. Verse 17. And many commentators are quick to point out that, you know, he asked Peter three times if he loved him because Peter denied him three times. And I'm sure that might have been part of it, but something happens here in the word change. Do you agape me? Well, Lord, you know, I phileo you. In other words, do you love me with the highest, most intense, noblest love that there possibly is in the Greek language and possibly described for a human being in a relationship to Christ? He said, no, I'm in a heavy state of life, though. Well, do you? Again, a second time, come on, don't you really agape me? Lord, you know everything. I fully owe you. Then Jesus does something. It cuts Peter to the quick. Look at verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you? Now Jesus changes the word. Phileo me. Do you really have a pretty heavy state of life toward me, even? It says, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, not because he asked him three times, but because the third time he asked him, not do you agape me? He asked him, do you phileo me? In other words, the level of love that Peter thought was going to be acceptable, the Lord's even saying, do you even have that? And now Peter is truly broken hearted. He is grieved. Truly grieved. The Lord, quite frankly, friends, is doing spiritual biopsy on Peter here. And, as one commentator pointed out, this is Peter's ordination ceremony. He's telling him to tend his lambs. He's telling him to shepherd the sheep. He's telling him to feed the sheep. Peter is being ordained a minister here, and the Lord is doing a spiritual biopsy on him, cutting him down to the quick. Grieved, the word is grieved. It means a deep pain or grief in heart. Again, not because he asked him three times, but because Jesus questions even the love that Peter thought he could get by with. I love this key point. If you're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, you need to hear this. If you heard nothing else I said, please hear this. Christ knows that our love is not perfect as long as it's real. He wants our love to be, as long as you truly know Him as Lord and Savior. It's okay that your love for Christ may not be perfect. It just must be real. So, first requirement, do you love me, Peter, more than these, more than this stuff, more than your life, more than your past life, more than everything that you've got, more than your occupation, your family, your everything? What's it say over in Matthew? If any man does not hate his mother and father and sons and daughters and children and houses, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Not that he cannot be a good disciple. He cannot be my disciple at all. There is a cost to this. This love has a cost. And now Jesus is really going to talk about the cost. Verse 18. Truly, truly, I say, that phrase truly, truly is used 25 times in the Gospel of John. And basically, it's the Holy Spirit's way of underscoring, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. What is coming is important, important, important. If you weren't dialed in before, get it now. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Stretching out your hands, a euphemism for crucifixion. You don't even have to guess at it. The best commentary on the Scripture is the Scripture itself. Look at the next verse. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he, Peter, would glorify God. I'll stop right there. And again, you see Luke 9:33, don't you? Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily. But you think to yourself, you're ordaining the guy, so to speak. I would think you would want to encourage the guy. He's failed so much. You got him on the spot. You can't get him more stripped bare and dealing with reality than you've got him. And now you're telling him, oh, by the way, you're going to get crucified. Couldn't you cut the guy a little slack? Couldn't you give him a break? Let me tell you something. We're thinking wrong. This is the most blessed words that Peter could ever hear. This is the most encouraging words Peter is ever going to hear out of the Lord's mouth, perhaps. You say, how so? Let me translate it for you. Peter, they're going to take you and crucify you. Because you won't deny me. The next time it comes around, you mean I'm going to be faithful? You mean I'm not going to shrink away? I'm not going to cower in the shadows because a servant girl asked me if I even know you? I'm literally going to speak for you all the way to the cross? I'm not going to fail? See, Corinthians hadn't been written yet. He hadn't listened to the preaching of Paul yet. He doesn't know that Paul, through the auspices of the Spirit, is going to say, look, my grace is sufficient for every situation. He doesn't know it in that. He's dealing, if you will, one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Peter, you are going to be crucified. And guess what? Peter's excited about it. Peter, it's the greatest words he could have heard. I'm not going to fail, but I'm nothing but failure. You need to hear that, church. That is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who has begun a good work in you will, not maybe, will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Cry out for grace that you'll find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Interact over the Scriptures. And like you're looking at your face in a mirror and trying to figure out, oh man, I got to clear this one off. Oh man, I did this. You're looking at the Word of God so you can see the glory of Christ and where you need to go to imitate that glory, to imitate Christ, asking God for the grace to do so. It's an ongoing communion. Your life is an ongoing communion every moment with where you are in terms of the riches and the excellencies and the glories of Christ. And you're throwing yourself on a throne of mercy and grace, asking for the enabler to live it out. Don't tell me you don't know my husband. Don't tell me you don't know my wife. Well, you don't know what our life has been like. Are you prepared to pick up your cross daily and follow Christ? Let me put it to you Jesus' way. Do you even phileo me? Do you even have a warm affection for me? If you do, if it's real, He will accept a love that's not perfect. But He will not accept a love that's not real. I say that again. He will accept a love that's not perfect. But He will not accept a love that is not real. And if your love for Christ, if there's a true spark, a flicker in your heart of genuine Spirit of God, by God's grace, He will blow that into a conflagration that will end up being a burning passion and a motivator in your life, and you will fulfill the appointed rounds on the scroll of your life that the God of providence has ordained for you to walk in before the foundation of the earth. And you will be the most blessed and peaceful in heart human being on the planet.
There is a confidence and a peace that comes with serving the sovereign living God, who is in control of all things, including our own service for the Lord. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue a study in the book of Hebrews and bring you more of a message today titled Sanctification and the Ethics of a Christian, Part 2. You can download free copies of John's sermons when you visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. At reformedlivingministries.org, just click on the sermon tab and then download free MP3 files of John's teaching. For CD copies, just click the contact tab and then send us your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. And now, let's get back to our study and encouragement from John about having the ultimate victory over our own sinful nature through Christ.
There'll be a war going on constantly in your members. Because the closer you get to the glories and the excellency of Christ, the more you'll see of your sin. And you'll see more and more places in that mirror of the Word of God where I need to change. But over time, just like the radiance of your countenance will absolutely shine forth. So, Peter, I'm convinced, and people of greater minds than I are convinced that this is the best news he ever could have heard. Now, there's another component. Denying yourself, there's a sacrifice, but there's a third component to this living lesson in Luke 9:23. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily. And what? Follow me. That's obedience. Obedience. And look what he says at the end of verse 19. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, here you go, follow me. Be obedient. Now I'm going to tell you something. I like to say, because my name is John, I'm a lot like John. I'm like none of these guys, sad to say. But if I'm like anybody in the negative sense, I'm like Peter. And I think there's a little bit of Peter in all of us. The Lord of glory is ordaining him. The Lord of glory has done all of this. He's shared all this with him. He's now where I'm not going to fail my faith. I'm not going to fail my faith. And he says, follow me. And look, could you believe this? Look what Peter does. Staring into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's just said, follow me. Verse 20. Peter, turning around. Well, what's that all about? Can you imagine? You're going to turn away from Christ after all of this? And what's the question? He's got his nose in somebody else's business again. He's a continual remediation project. Be encouraged. You are too. So am I. We're constant remediation projects. He'll accept a love that's not perfect. But he won't accept one that's not real. Examine yourself, brethren, and make sure you're genuinely in the faith. He says here, follow me, Peter, verse 20, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, there's John again, the one who also had leaned back on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Oh, no, it says he was the one who betrays you. Verse 21, Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Quit comparing yourself, Christian, to another man or woman's ministry, to another man or woman's house, to another man or woman's car, to how many people are in their church compared to this church, compared to our church, compared to that church, to how they handle things, to what they do, to what the Lord allows them to do in the realm of spiritual liberty, but for whatever reason has called you not to do. Quit doing that. Quit looking and measuring your life by other people. We need to measure our life by Christ. He said to him, now Jesus, I'm sure this is full of sarcasm. This is just full, he's probably on the edge with Peter here. He says to him, verse 22, if I want him to remain until I come, what's that to you? You follow me. And by the way, that's emphatic. Every word in there is emphatic, emphatic, emphatic. You follow me is what he's saying there. Peter, I got to work on you, and I'm going to keep working on you. My Spirit's going to work on you. Follow me, will you? Now, look at verse 23. This saying, therefore, went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus, now, what's that all? The man who's sharing this with us, he says, you've heard of the grapevine? This is what we call in the churches the grace vine. It's sort of like somehow gossip is okay. You know, it's one of those things where, I just have something that we need to pray about. Did you know that salad? That's all sin. And isn't it interesting that the disciple John had to use a portion of sacred writ under the auspices of the Spirit of God to stamp out a misconception that was running around, hey, John's going to live forever till the Lord comes again. And Steve and I were talking about this just the other day. It's a powerful truth. They slandered me. Should I go defend myself? Maybe yes, maybe no. They said this and they said this about me. And they did this and they did this. Should I stand up and defend myself or should I turn the other cheek? John isn't turning the other cheek here. He's putting in holy writ. That is an outright falsehood. Why does he do that? Because John is not defending himself. He's defending the word of the Lord. When God's work, God's word, are being maligned and attacked. God's servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, is being maligned and attacked. You and I have a duty before Almighty God to stand up and speak or do whatever is right under the circumstances. If they're attacking me, hey, blessed are you if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's to follow the pattern of your Lord Jesus Christ and turn it over to Him and let Him deal with them. There's a great teaching point there. Because he steps in and speaks up, not because he's defending John or Peter. He's making sure the word of God isn't misused. The saying, therefore, went out among the brethren, the disciple would not die. Here's John speaking now. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only if I want him to remain until I come. What is that to you? I always wondered, why is that verse even in there? And the Lord gave this one to me just in the last couple of days in thinking about this. And that's why I think. Verse 24, this is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. And if they were written in detail, he's back repeating himself a bit. He's trying to end it again. Remember, he tried to end it over in chapter 20 with, hey, everything this guy did, you can't be stored in books. He's finally getting to the conclusion again because the Spirit of God had to add this chapter. If they were written, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books which were written. Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, follow me. I'll accept less than a perfect love, but not less than a real love. Because if your love is real, over time, my Spirit, my word, your prayers will combine together and do what I wanted to do in your life. Turn over and we close. I just want to read this. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Did Peter get it right? You better believe he got it right. I think it's interesting too. From Acts chapter 2, Peter and John become best buddies, and they already were buddies, but in Acts chapter 2, they become ministry buddies, and all the way from Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 12, they're traveling around everywhere together, and Peter does all the preaching. John doesn't say a word. But as one guy said, he was sure holding back a lot, because when he picked up his pen, he writes the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation, he had a whole lot to say. But in any event, Peter had a few things to say to him. And you know what? He really got it right. Look at 1st Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, shepherd my lambs. Peter, tend my sheep. But and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And how does he end it? Peter. Rough, hard, vacillating Peter ends with a softness produced in his heart by the Spirit of God. Verse 14. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Now, I always think to myself, a kiss of love. Could Peter have been reflecting back on a kiss that the Lord received in the garden that was not a kiss of love? And could he have been thinking of all the times he, rhetorically speaking, kissed the Lord and failed? But what's he say? A kiss of agape. Be encouraged, believer. None of us are perfect. We'll be striving for perfection. God's not asking you to be perfect today. He's asking you to be better tomorrow than you are today. He doesn't ask for a perfect love. He knows we are just us. But he does ask for real.
Is your faith real? Is your desire to serve the Lord authentic? The Lord can work with that in anyone's life. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews and more of a message today titled Sanctification and the Ethics of a Christian, Part 2. If this program has been ministering to you and you might like to give back where the Lord is blessing you on the radio, then please visit reformedlivingministries.org, where you can make a secure, tax-deductible donation of any amount that will help keep Reformed Living on the air. And you can also write to John with your donation, made out to Reformed Living, and send it to John's mailing address, Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386, 4727 East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague, and thanks again for listening today. Do join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews. And now, here's John to invite you to come visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.